This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Tyrants and Tea Kettles by Leslie Heron. Chapter 29, Cassia.
Piper, where's your brother? It's getting dark.
Piper pushed against the ground, attempting to right herself, but every fiber of her body was screaming out in pain. Where was her brother? There was something she had been protecting him from, but the harder she honed in on it, the less clear her memories became. She breathed out, releasing a puff of dust.
I don't know, Mom. I lost him.
How easy it would be to let go now, stop holding on to all the pain, and fade into the dark of sleep. A hand reached out and caressed her hair, moving along the lengths of the curls to brush against her cheek. Piper managed to move just enough to see who had been touching her. Her mother, calm and serene, was staring back at her with tear-streaked lines on her aging face.
But you promised you wouldn't leave him. Remember?
A flash of blue and teal overtook her vision, blinding Piper as she squinted against the light. A swirling vortex, similar to the portal she had rescued her brother from earlier, grew before her. The wind rushed around her, and the outline of her mother faded as the memories clicked back into place. She had made a promise. The swirling air overtook her, and, like the rushing of water, everything surged forward, and she shot awake.
Atticus!
Piper scrabbled to untangle herself from the thick, warm sheets of a plain white bed, and even though the dream had faded, the agony in her body was still there. Every attempt to move was met with searing pain. A gentle but firm palm pushed her back into the soft embrace of the mattress. In her half-wakened state, Piper's first thought was that it was the reassuring hand of her mother. But when she glanced over, her eyes locked onto the pale face of a young woman. Like her twin brother, this woman bore a strong resemblance to Chester, but the kindness in her light blue eyes told her she was not here to fight.
"Where's my brother? Where's Atticus?"
"Ah, Piper, you're awake."
Chester's voice rang out from somewhere behind Comedy.
"Your brother is safe, don't worry. I'm sure you have many questions, but please allow me just another moment to finish signing all these damned legal documents."
He snorted with distaste at the stack of papers at his bedside.
"I'm afraid legislation waits for no man."
Piper took a deep breath, forcing herself to relax as she slumped into the pillows of her bed. Despite the warm glow of sparkling sunlight that poured in through the open window, or the breeze that fluttered past its curtains, she couldn't wash down the panic coursing within. She cast around, looking for anything to force her mind off the earlier nightmare that had her on pins and needles. She didn't recognize this room, as it was too large to be inside the library. At the sounds of marching boots outside the door and from below the window, she figured this must be a military infirmary, with its scrubbed walls and strong disinfectant smell. She glanced warily up into Comedy's face, unsure of her intentions. One of her arms was in a sling, and her smooth white skin was discolored in areas, with faded shades of purple and yellow, bruises that were nearly healed. But that would mean...
"Hang on! How long was I asleep?"
"Oh, you've been out for a week."
Chester continued scratching the quill against the parchment, as though it had done him an injustice.
"Danny, could you be a dear and tell me which of these documents is the most urgent?"
"A week!"
At Chester's words, Comedy pulled away from Piper's bedside and began rifling through the stacks of folders.
"Well, these here are the previous council members' files. They need to be addressed and sent over to the new head of security as soon as possible. And this," she pulled out one from the bottom of the stack, "is detailing the process of removing the iron wall from around the city. And this one..."
"Seriously? A whole week?"
Chester reached over with a pained groan and laid a bandaged hand on Comedy's arm.
I have a feeling I might be a bit preoccupied for a while.
His eyes flicked over to Piper briefly.
I trust your judgment. Just forge my signature and handle the urgent matters, all right?
Comedy nodded and shoveled the documents into her bag with her free hand. Very well, Father. But the ambassador from West Austria should be arriving shortly to discuss the reopening of trade routes. What should I... Chester waved a hand dismissively.
Just tell them, oh, I don't know, that I'm busy recovering from nearly dying and that I need my rest. I'll deal with them later.
He gave her a sly wink.
Thank you, my dear.
Piper watched as Danny left the room without a second glance back. As the door clicked shut, she noticed a familiar figure slumped in the nearby chair. Vel was fast asleep, his arms folded over his chest and his head tilted back. Chester shifted in his bed and watched as Piper's gaze landed on the cyborg. A slight smile curled the corners of his mouth.
Yes, your metal guardian. He's hardly left your side at all. He's been worried sick ever since we couldn't wake you up.
He grunted as he adjusted his pillows into a more comfortable shape.
We all were, really.
Piper felt a lump in her throat, but pushed it down and turned to Chester. She collected her thoughts and readied herself to present him with a list of questions. But seeing his smug smile drain the last of her already thin composure, and she blurted them all out at once.
Where's Atticus? Are the riots still going on? What happened to the High Inquisitor, and why the hell do his personal bodyguards look just like you?
Chester let out a bark of a laugh, and then winced.
Right. Let's see, where to start?
He drew his fingers down along the stubble on his chin.
Atticus is probably running around town with his new horde of robots, fixing the damage from the revolution. As for the riots, they dispersed as soon as the pre-existing establishment was overthrown. I was, of course, gifted to the chair of Prime Minister for my part in the whole ordeal.
Piper rolled her eyes.
Oh, of course you were. For future reference, there's an R in the word grifted.
Chester raised an eyebrow, flicking his hands in a flourishing gesture.
I may have gained the chair through shady means, but that does not mean I will not be a benevolent ruler. My first act, for instance, was to exile all the sitting members of the Council of Lords. We are currently filling their chairs with publicly elected officials from the various districts of the city, thus ensuring that no one man garners too much power ever again, including myself.
Piper clicked her tongue, not sure she fully believed the benevolent nature of Chester's new role.
And what happened to the High Inquisitor?
Unfortunately, he escaped, and since the portal machine was destroyed, we had no way of following. But after all the damage that Elias wrought upon this city, it was decided the title of High Inquisitor would cease to carry any political power and only lends authority within the college itself.
Chester let out an airy sigh as he continued his gaze on the girl.
Just so you are aware, I took it upon myself to elevate your brother into that position.
Piper felt a twinge in her stomach as if the floor had been dropped out from beneath her.
You gave my brother ultimate control over an entire armada?
Chester could only bring himself to respond with a resounding laugh, punctuated by the winces and gasps caused by the pain of his injuries.
Do give me some credit, please. The control of the military is now split evenly between the new Council of Lords and myself.
Piper let her body settle back into the mattress of her bed, and she sighed. Her brain felt numb.
So, he gave him an empty title so you could keep your fingers wrapped around him. Again.
Chester's face fell noticeably, and he cast his eyes on something on the ceiling.
I'm hurt you would think so little of me. I assure you, my intentions are good, and the college could use a leader who is less focused on domination.
He sighed as a thought came to him.
I genuinely do care for you and your brother.
Piper tilted her head to face him.
If that were true, you wouldn't have threatened to expose him. You could have gotten Atticus killed.
Anger was tickling at her senses, but the pain in her body kept her from an explosive outburst. Chester could feel the lethal note in her words and looked over at her.
I'll admit, I was being a tad greedy.
He held up a hand to stem the response he could see forming on her mouth.
But not in the way you think. The truth is...
His hand fell back to the bed.
I never cared for the aviary district. That was all a ruse to present you with a task you would fail at.
Piper frowned, but she allowed him to continue.
When I got word that you and Atticus were creating machines that would open portals to different worlds, complete with monsters, I was afraid.
He sighed and looked down.
I was scared that the two of you would disappear and that I would never see either of you again. And the fear of not knowing what would become of you drove me to find a way to keep you and your brother here.
Piper shook her head.
You were just afraid of losing your best pickpocket and your inside man at the college.
Chester's smile returned to his face, but there was a touch of hurt in his eyes.
I've told you before that you and your brother were like my own children, and I like to think of myself as your father.
How can you say that to me when I know you have actual children?
Chester's smile dampened at those words.
I only learned of Danny and her brother earlier this year. Their mother and I, it was just a fling from my youth. I had no idea I even had children. But one day, while trying to find inside operatives to help insulate Atticus from harm, I was contacted by Danny. She was the one that reached out to me.
He chuckled a little.
Here I thought, I could kill two birds with one stone, as they say. I could make up some lost time with my children, and they could provide a cover for your brother's protection.
Chester shifted in his bed again, a sigh escaping him as he did.
Unfortunately, Theodore was less responsive. He blamed me for their broken childhood and swore to kill me if we ever met again. After that, Danny insisted that we keep our relationship secret for my own safety.
They both sat in silence for a moment before Chester looked over at her, his eyes moist.
I looked for you. When the street sweepers took you away, I must have bribed a dozen guards to let me search the wastes. That's why I burned your brother's house. I thought you were dead, and I needed to protect him since you couldn't. I wanted him to come back home.
There was a knock at the door, and he reluctantly called that it was open. Piper saw Chester's face fall as they were interrupted before he could heal the rift between them, but she welcomed the excuse. She wanted to stay mad at him, but she could feel her anger deflating. It wasn't gone, just spent. She was just too tired to sift out the truths from the lies. A dark copper battlebot rolled into the room, his head scraping neatly against the ceiling. From behind the metal behemoth, Atticus peeked out and grinned down at his sister, a long box tucked under one arm.
Oh, hey, Piper! You're awake!
As Piper got a good look at him, she felt the brief smile that crossed her face flicker away as panic returned in a rush. His face was peppered with dark bruises. His nose had been taped past the point of necessity, and he was wearing a simple brown leather eye patch over his left eye.
Atticus, what happened to your eye? Are you all right?
It was the second time that Piper tried to fling herself from the bed, but found herself forced back into the mattress by a firm hand. She looked down to see that her brother's robot was standing at the edge of her bed, his coiled arm outstretched to keep her still.
Ma'am, please remain calm. Your injuries were quite severe. You could damage yourself again.
Atticus chuckled a little as he stepped out from around the machine. He pointed at his eye patch.
What, this?
He lifted the little square of leather to reveal his eye, unscathed and functioning.
Captain Leon made me an honorary pirate.
Piper faltered.
What?
Atticus nodded vigorously.
And all I had to do was outfit his new ships with my latest engine designs. He's got a lot of ships now since Chester made him a Commodore. Did you know Commodore is my new favorite word? Commodore.
A grin tugged at his mouth. Chester cleared his throat as he folded his arms over his chest.
Yes, apparently you made a promise to that pirate for, and I quote, the grandest ship of his choosing.
Piper bit back on the urge to break out in a fit of chuckles.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't your armada when I promised it.
She shifted in her bed, trying to return to a comfortable state, when an extra pillow was pushed up against her back, supporting her.
Besides, after we heard rumors of the revolt, I had to tell them something to get me down there. They was halfway to the mines when I finally convinced them.
She turned to see the robot using his massive hands to fluff her pillows, and adding an additional one to help her adjust to a sitting position. She gave him a friendly smile.
Thank you, Berg. It's good to see you're up and running again.
The room seemed to pause, the air going still as everyone froze. Piper looked around to see her brother's face had fallen noticeably.
What's wrong?
Atticus looked down at the box he was holding.
Actually, he's not technically Berg.
Allow me, sir.
The robot cut in, putting a gentle hand on his master's shoulder. At Atticus's approval, the machine turned to Piper.
Berg is simply an acronym for my protocols. As I understand it, your friend, my predecessor, chose to use that as his name. But as there are so many of us now, using that title is impractical. While many of my brethren have already chosen new names, I have yet to find mine. Until I do, you are welcome to address me as Unit 2.
Atticus shuffled a little, keeping his gaze on the box in his hands.
I wasn't able to transfer Berg's memories before Elias stole him. Just his personality protocols. Berg's gone.
Piper sighed.
Atticus, I'm so sorry. This is all my fault.
Atticus looked up and smiled at her.
It's okay, Piper. Chester explained to me why you did it. You were just trying to protect me. Berg would have done the same thing.
He leaned over and wrapped his arms around her.
I forgive you.
Piper sniffled, trying to hold back her tears. She reached up and wrapped her arms around her brother. In the moment when she went to clutch her fingers together, something felt out of place.
That's weird.
Her words died in her throat, only to be replaced by a high-pitched scream as she lifted her right arm. Her eyes fell on a heavily bandaged stump where her forearm used to be. Unit 2 quickly placed his hands over his master's ears as she let loose a few choice profanities. At the sound of her cry and the cacophony of stringent words, Vel snapped awake. He jumped to his feet, the metal in his arm bristling as he readied himself to take on whatever it was attacking them now.
What is it? What's wrong?
Piper brandished her bandaged stump at the cyborg.
My hand!
Vel took a step back, frowning at all the confused faces staring up at him.
What about it?
What about it? What about it? It's gone, you daft moron!
Vel cleared his throat as he scratched a spot behind his ear.
Oh, is that all? I thought it was something serious.
Piper's left hand scrabbled to wrap around anything she could throw at him.
More serious than losing my hand?
Her voice grew into a growl as she pulled a pillow out from behind her and flung it at him.
Are you going to tell me what happened, or should I guess?
Vel sidestepped the pillow and it slammed into the neat painting above where he had been sleeping moments before.
It happened when the portal closed. You got stuck in the path of one of the ripples.
He walked towards her bedside.
And, well, part of you got transported, or disintegrated, I don't really know. But either way, you got lucky. Could have been a lot worse.
I don't see how it could be worse. I just lost my bleeding pickpocket in hand.
Vel's face formed a line as he arched an eyebrow at her, gesturing broadly at his own body. Piper slumped back into her bed, taking his point.
Yeah, well, I ain't got no fancy augments, do I? Actually...
Atticus stepped forward, presenting her with the box. He opened it with an excited flourish and showed her the contents. Inside was a simple prosthetic, little more than a hook attached to a formed piece of leather with straps.
Captain Leon wanted you to have it. He said we could both be honorary pirates, except you're not allowed on any of the boats for some reason.
Piper eyed the hook warily, noting several rust spots.
That's one of his, isn't it?
Atticus nodded.
It's just until I can get a new one made for you. I've been working up all kinds of designs.
He elbowed Unit 2 in the side, who retrieved several crude drawings done on scraps of parchment paper.
One with a fork instead of a hook for when you need to eat, and one with a letter opener for, well, letters.
He pointed excitedly to one of the last pages.
My personal favorite is one that has a set of steam-powered hedge trimmers.
Pepper looked a little worried.
Do any of them have, you know, fingers?
Jester cleared his throat.
Speaking of limbs,
he turned his attention to Vel, a smile curling his lips.
Perhaps Atticus could design her one based on yours, seeing as it now belongs to me.
He gestured lazily at the cyborg's mechanical hand.
Vel scoffed and shook his head. Sorry, I don't owe you anything.
Chester's smile fell, replaced by a look of grave concern.
We had a deal. You don't intend on backing out of it now, do you?
The deal was that you helped me capture or kill Elias. Him escaping wasn't part of the arrangement. So, no Inquisitor, no hand.
Vel almost burst into laughter at the slack-jawed look on the other man's face. Atticus looked contemplative.
You know, if I could use Vel's hand as a template, I'm sure I could make one that's almost as good as his in 6 months. I could even add a knife and a corkscrew.
Pepper looked up at the cyborg.
It's a good idea, unless you're set on leaving.
Vel pulled a face.
My brother's still out there. Somewhere.
Piper nodded, looking down. Vel gazed out the window at the city below, bathed in the golden light. He put a hand on Piper's shoulder, squeezing a little in a comforting gesture.
But I think I'm where I'm supposed to be.
He smiled.
At least for now. Eric's the smart one, after all. He'll just have to find his way here.
Piper felt a rush of gratitude fill her heart, and tears began to leak from the corners of her eyes. She had rescued her brother, torn down a tyrannical government, and made a good friend. She wrapped her arms around Vel's middle, hugging him tight from her position on the bed. She hoped she could convey a little of what she was feeling without the words. Taken aback by the sudden display, Vel almost recoiled away from her touch. But, after a moment, he realized what she was saying and patted her gently on the back. Atticus wormed his way between them and hauled the cyborg away, eyeing his mechanical arm.
If you're staying, and if we're going to be working on this, you're going to need a place to live, and I'll have the perfect spot.
He lifted the mechanical hand up to his face before pressing his ear against it, listening to the whirs and clicks it made.
As the new High Inquisitor, I'll get that old mansion up in the Aviary District. We should get started right away, so you can have the room next to mine.
He smiled at the thought of dismantling those digits again.
Come on, I'll show you.
Unit 2 already had the door open as Atticus tugged furiously against the cyborg's arm. Despite his best attempts, Vel couldn't stop himself from being dragged from the room. He looked over his shoulder, calling back to Piper.
You owe me, kid.
She watched the door shut with a smile and eased herself back into the pillows, wiping the tears from her face with her left hand. She looked down at her bandaged stump and sighed. This would take her some time to get used to, she thought, as she cast a wary glance at the box containing her prosthetic. Chester glanced over to her with a small, knowing smile.
Well, it looks like you finally found that family you were after.
Piper nestled farther down into her pillows, exhaustion starting to win the battle.
Yeah, I suppose I did.
She would deal with the rusted hook later. As sleep began creeping into the edges of her awareness, a commotion in the hall brought her back into the moment. Shouting could be heard getting closer until the door flung open. Danny was being forced into the room despite her attempts to keep someone out, a difficult task given her injured state.
I told you, he's not seeing anyone right now.
But it was a fruitless effort, and she whirled around.
I'm sorry, Father, but the representative from West Austria is insistent that they see you now.
Chester waved a hand.
Let them through, it's fine.
Danny stepped aside, offering a hateful glare as she was almost shoved out of the way by a well-dressed woman wearing a dangerous expression. The ambassador locked eyes with Chester and stomped over to the edge of his bed.
"Prime Minister, I apologize for the intrusion."
Her tone implied that she was not the least bit sorry.
"But I must insist on speaking with you right away about an urgent personal matter. You see, my children are somewhere in this city, and I need..."
Piper stared up at the woman in disbelief, unsure if she had been thrust back into her dream.
"Mom?"
Elias sucked in another ragged breath, taking in more mud than oxygen. His fingers reached out through the filth of the swamp, searching for the exposed roots of the tree he knew was there. 20 feet he had crawled through the muck after tragedy's collapse. 20 feet of hell, half drowning on sludge and writhing like a speared fish. The sword in his gut tugged against his organs, and the bullet in his shoulder burned hotter than a sun. 20 feet he had pulled himself through before the sword had shifted into his spine and tore away the already limited use of his legs. He grit his teeth and growled with the effort, reaching with his fingers until, finally, he gently brushed against the rough surface he was searching for. It was like touching ice. A shiver ran down his spine as the cool, refreshing energy rippled its way through his body. The burning in his shoulder began to fade, and as it reached his legs, they twitched back to life. He dug his boots into the mud, driving himself forward until he could grip the root fully with his hand. Elias forced a knee up under himself and began to slowly crawl up the roots to the trunk of the massive tree. He felt something jagged snap in his back and felt his shoulder reset itself, ejecting the bullet from his flesh. With a scream of agony and rage, he reached back with his injured arm and grasped the hilt of the sword that impaled him, ripping it free from his body. The ice moved through his veins to the gaping wound, and it began to close. Elias ground his teeth together in anguish as his eyes focused on the tree before him. Its leaves shriveled, some fluttering like ash to the ground and muck below. Large swaths of the bark began to char as he climbed to his feet. The pain in his body began to subside. But the more he recovered, the more the tree withered, until it was nothing more than a rotting husk of its former glory. From somewhere behind him, Elias heard tragedy stir with a cough and a wheezing intake of air.
Where are we?
Elias removed his fingers from the dried, cracked surface of the dead tree. The ice surged throughout him, illuminating twisted vines of purple along his skin and flecking the irises of his eyes. A cruel smile curled at his lips.
I'm home.
This concludes of Tyrants and Teakettles, Book 2 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. But the adventure is far from over. Stay tuned for Book 3, which should be appearing in about 4 to 6 weeks.
I'm coming. Keep your shorts on. Well, now, it's not my birthday, is it? What brings you here?
Hello, Mrs. McGreenly. Is Alphonse home?
Aye, he's here. But, I can send him away if you'd like.
No. I need to talk to him.
Yeah, suit yourself. But you know where to find me when you're done. Alphonse! You got company!
Right, Ma. Who is it? Ah, you. What can I do for you?
I just came by to return the coat that you lent me.
I see. Well, it seems to have a few more openings than when I gave it to you.
Yeah. Sword cuts, a few punctures. Oh, and that part got singed when the roof exploded. Sorry.
Aye. Well, you brought it back, and that's what counts, I suppose.
Alphonse, won't you ask your friend if he'd like to stay for dinner?
I really couldn't.
Nonsense. You've got plenty of extra.
Okay, I guess.
Especially since I just got called into work. I'll see the both of you in a bit. Bye, Ma! So, do you take wine with your meal, or would you like to skip straight to dessert?
Oh, no.
Shall I pull up a list of pickup lines to assist you?
Damn it, Amy! You're not helping!